one of the things that is a joy to participate in an event like the Lord's Supper, but it reminds us that there is going to be a return of our King, the Lord Jesus. Until I return, celebrate this, remind yourselves, describe it, show it to the world about you, so that they can look forward for the day that I will split the skies and come back. In the meantime, we have to understand as we share together, we're looking forward to that time, not only so that we can go to heaven, but as we've learned over the last 5 weeks, and we'll a couple more weeks understand that there is a purpose to that, not just getting into heaven, folks. You know, in our culture today, we have what is called the Participants Award. Everybody that participates gets some kind of award, whether it's a ribbon or a sticker or a something that recognizes that you participated. Now we not only see that in the young children's sports as they're coming along, growing up and developing and maturing, not only in that type of environment, but it's in all of our environment today. We are participating, so we need something to acknowledge that. As we think about the crowns that the Lord Jesus gives his followers at his return, as we get into heaven with him and share eternity with him, we need to understand these are not participant awards. They're awards because you have been faithful, you've been obedient, you've been the servant that he's called you to be. And so it's important. Now understand, even though I started off with the Great White Throne Judgment, which is the punishment of sin, that's the last thing that will happen. That's when everything else is done. We as believers will miss the tribulation, we'll be in heaven, we'll be rewarded. Then there is that time that the Great White Throne will take place, and that is hell and death is punished by being cast into the lake of fire, and then a new heaven and a new earth is created. We'll be talking about that in the coming week. But as a part of that, we need to understand the participant award, if you want to call it that, is the fact you get into heaven, that you're going to be there. But being there, we want to receive awards. Now, I've learned that even though we say we're not working to get salvation, because of salvation, we're going to work. And the Bible is full of the fact that you will be awarded. You will receive a reward. That's important. Now, the award is not going to be those flimsy things that we get here on earth that fade and corrupt, can be stolen, taken away. Those awards will be for all of eternity. And it's important to think about that. Now, in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, we're going to talk about the crown of glory, the fifth crown, the crown of glory. I exalt the elders among you and fellow elder and witness to the suffering of Christ, as well as the one who shares in the glory about to be revealed, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingness. As God would have you, do not out of greed for money, but eagerly. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Father, help us catch a vision of that crown of glory today. And help us understand how important it is to the kingdom of God that we're faithful and obedient and earn the crown of glory through the lives and the work that we do here on earth. Speak to our hearts, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Everyone's chasing crowns. Some are chasing crowns of status. Others are chasing crowns of wealth or power or prestige or popularity. The scripture says there's only one crown that does not fade. And that's the crowns that are given by Christ. The one that we're talking about now is the crown that does not rot or decay, the crown of glory. Now, the Bible speaks of two kinds of crowns. The point is for us to understand something deeper than a piece of apparel or something that we'll wear or strut around with all over heaven. We're not looking for something like that that would declare, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. What people invest their lives in, seeking to gain, will all be left behind. There is nothing that is going to make it out of this world if it is not already deteriorated, rotten, or stolen. It's going to be left here. People are learning on the social media, 5 seconds of worldwide fame can be destroyed in one short sentence that is placed in the comments. One picture, one short video can derail the greatest careers that we're seeing. The highest popularity can be done away with in seconds here in this world. The rewards the Bible speaks of are not given until the believer is ushered into God's presence for all of eternity. And the Lord Jesus will award his followers crowns that they deserve. Now, one of those that is earned is the life of righteousness. Once learned by the right life of righteousness. The proverb said in Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a glorious crown. It is found in the ways of righteousness. The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old in Proverbs 20:29. Now, these thoughts are telling us something different than our culture tells us today. You see, the thought in our culture today is if you live long enough, then your hair is going to turn gray and you're going to be wise. Of course, that's not always true. But Solomon says, when we respect our elders, especially those that are a part of the family of God, they have loved righteousness in their lives, and they deserve our respect and our willingness to listen to their words that they would guide us and share with. The other crowns are granted by Christ. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crowns of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. Not only is the crown of glory given by Christ, but we've learned that the other four crowns that we have studied are also given by Christ at his judgment seat. The victor's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, and the crown of life. Today we're looking at the fifth, the crown of glory. The crown is reserved for those who are in leadership, who are faithful shepherds of God's people. Now, look at the responsibility of the shepherds that Peter talked about in 1 Peter 5:1-3. Peter challenges the leaders to be faithful. Rome had just been destroyed by fire. While Nero blamed the believers, the Christians, the people of the way, the other people believed that it was actually Nero that set the fire and burned Rome so he could recreate it the way he wanted it. But he was punishing the Christians because of the fire. Peter challenges the believers in the midst of this challenge, of this persecution, of this punishment, of this falsehood that is being perpetrated about them, be faithful even in this persecution. The martyr's death that may come to you, be faithful, remain obedient, and understand Christ is on his throne and rewards will be given out of that faithfulness. Before the crown, there is a calling also. 1 Peter 4:10-11, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Peter is saying to them, if you have teaching skills, if you have talents, if you have abilities, if you have passions, they are gifts from God. They are given to you and they're to be used to serve the local church and the kingdom of God. Spiritual gifts are graciously given. They're supernaturally granted to the believer by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ with them. You got them in your midst right now. People that are faithful to do what God's called them and gifted them to do, and they're building up the body of Christ. The spiritual gift cannot be earned or pursued or worked up or achieved or received in any other way other than the grace of God. Believers are called by God and given special abilities to help to be held accountable how they use those gifts to build up the kingdom of God and build up the brothers and sisters in Christ. Every leader in our fellowship is called and gifted to serve people. It may be the Bible teacher, the Sunday school leader, the Awana leader, the WMU leader, the M&M leader, a deacon, the music, the committee members. Everybody that has a position in our church of service are called and gifted by God for the express purpose to bless the people of God, the kingdom of God. You see, that's important to realize. Shepherd the flock faithfully, Peter said. Pastors are called to shepherd the flock. They are expected to serve the flock as a shepherd would serve the sheep in the wilderness, taking care of them, protecting them, caring for them. The good shepherds are known as servant leaders. It's important that you put the servant leaders there. The shepherds in the Old Testament and even in Jesus' time served the flock. That's their job. Take care of the flock. Protect it. They were responsible for that. They had to lead the flock to green pastures. They had to take them to good water. They had to put them on safe paths so they could be restored every day and then bring them back to the pen and rest at night and protect them. The shepherd's care will protect and love and guide the sheep, even through dangerous places, the Psalms 23 tells us. So the shepherds are charged with the responsibility of taking care of the flock. Now watch over the God's flock, he said. The shepherd's care are going to protect and lovingly guide the sheep through those very dangerous places. The sheep learn to trust the shepherd and know his tools, the rod and the staff that is going to be there, and how he uses them to lead them and protect them, provide a defense for them, to give them protection and move them along to where they need to be. So we are to watch over the flock. That flock can be a Sunday school class or a Bible study or the M&M or the WMU or committees, whatever. We're to take care of them, to provide for them, to lead them as servant leaders, not as authoritarians. Serve willingly and eagerly, he said in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. Now, he said that 2,000 years ago. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert, sober-minded, that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Often offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Don't lead out of greed or pride, but from a heart that is eager to serve. The driving factor of servant leaders has to be love. The same kind of love Jesus showed to us. Where love is the source of our leadership, there will not be grumbling or pride or coveting possessions or positions or applause. We're going to help people grow stronger, mature, and be used of God to help other people know and serve Jesus. That's what we're about. Leadership in the church is not about power. It is about sacrifice. It's not about being seen, but about being serving to others that no one may see. Now, what's the reward of the faithful shepherd? And the chief shepherd will appear and give you, and you will receive the unfading crown of glory, 5:4 of 1 Peter. Christ is the chief shepherd. Pastors are the under-shepherds, accountable to Christ. Christ is the one that was sent by God to express the purpose of sacrificing himself for all people's sins. Jesus was to be God with us. That's what the angel said. God with you, Emmanuel. And he showed us God and taught us God's love and God's grace. He led the disciples to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow his footsteps every day, and to teach others what he had taught them. Christ knows that every sacrifice, every prayer, every tear that is shed by a servant leader for his people as they fulfill the responsibility of caring for others, as they fulfill their calling to love others. He said it's an unfading crown. Earthly crowns, no matter if they're given or if they've earned, are going to fade away. Just like the Olympic wreaths of that day, the royal jewels, the professional accolades, all perish, they fade away. But the crown of glory is eternal, radiant with glory of Christ himself being expressed around you. People who receive the crown of glory are special because they are filled with love and compassion. They are wise. They're not know-it-alls. They share with others. They sought after with eager desire to win others to faith in Christ. That kind of person does not fade or dim. Even when old age and infirmities take over, we're still going to be at it. We're going to be sweet. We're going to glow with glory because of what God has given us in response to our service to him. And that's more than gray hair, folks. The crown is not just for the leaders, though. Peter expressed the elders. The principle of the crown of glory extends to all believers who faithfully serve in their calling. There are those that said the crown of glory are for the pastors, for the preachers. And I don't think that. I think it's beyond that. If you're a faithful Sunday school teacher doing it week in and week out, caring and providing and supporting your people, then you're a leader. And you're a sacrificial leader. You are a servant leader. That reward is going to be available to you. Paul affirms this when he says, those who run the race will receive rewards. The prize, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Everyone who faithfully serves the Lord and follows the believers in caring for them will receive the reward of the crown of glory. The believers who share the gospel to help others grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ will receive the crown of glory. Those who help others develop talents to care for, to share with, and to grow others in Christ, his service, and his ministry will receive the crown of glory. Think about that. Go back in your own life and think about it. As we drove across facing the sun this morning coming, I went back and I thought about Miss Mary Pickett when I was a little boy caring for me in Sunday school, all the way up when I was her pastor in older age for me. I think about Eleanor Dandridge. I think about Hallman Burbage. I thought about Mr. Fox. I thought about Irvin Garvin. I could go down the list of the men and women of Adams Run Baptist Church that did that for me. But I can keep going, and I can think of Wilbur Creech, my pastor, that I did his funeral 6 or 7 years ago. I can think about Larry Davis, and I did his. I can think about others that have cared for me and helped me develop. I think about Clarence Honshu, Director of Missions of Savannah River Association. I think about Hilton Hoover at Colleton Baptist Association, how they invested and cared for me and helped me and grew me and developed me. I can go on and on with hundreds of names of people that I think will receive the crown of glory or have received the crown of glory because of what they did in my life in caring and providing for me. Who are you thinking about? Who is going to think about you in that same setting? Remember, a reminder of the godly living is there also. We read Proverbs 6:31, gray hair is a gracious crown. It is found in the ways of righteousness. Now, gray hair is a crown of honor. Now, we live in a culture that idolizes youth. Business and industry want young people. You reach a certain age and they want you to go ahead and retire, and they'll work with you to usher you out, get you out of the way so they can bring in the young people. And then you realize what it's like. I worked with them. I had old people and I had college students, and how to get those two together took me a long time to deal with it. I can think about that. Even in cultures that idolize youth, Scripture celebrates age when it's reflected of wisdom and godliness. A life walked faithfully with the Lord is a crown of glory in itself. Now, I've always enjoyed older people and the lives that they live of faithfulness and beyond our own world, before our world and the culture that we're in today. They were willing to embrace opportunities to share in the lives of young people. After 9/11, I was determined I had to bring college-age kids and the old disaster relief dudes together. We didn't have enough by ourselves. We needed those young people. And so I brought in leaders out of the disaster world and BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministers from across the country, put them in a room, and we started talking. And the first day, I mean, it was terrible. You could see the old guy sitting there like this. You know, and it was body language, is just like some of you right now saying, God, don't be talking about us old people like that. But as you look at that, I can remember what it was like. And as we got to the end of the day, I didn't know what else to do. I went home and I was up most of the night praying and talking to the Lord. The next morning we met after breakfast. We got into the room. We locked the door. And I said, all right. From what I understand for yesterday, I've got to create two tracks, one for the old people doing disaster relief and one for the young people doing disaster relief. And the college ministers went, wow, no, 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 that's not what we want. You see, we want to be with the older guys that can mentor us, can help us, can teach us, can show us how to do. Not just the work of throwing hammers and shovels and all that kind of stuff and cooking, washing shower trailers. We're not just that. We want them to help us understand how to care for people like the chaplains and the volunteer teams are doing. And it was just like those old guys had been slapped in the face, woke up. So maybe this is not going to be a wasted exercise, because we thought college students weren't going to work. They were going to do silly stuff. They wouldn't listen to us. They wouldn't pay attention to us, is what they finally said. But after we did that, the next 2 days, we come out of there with a thing that just opened the world up. And by the time Katrina hit 20 years ago this past Friday, there was a different world in disaster relief because of college students and what they were willing to do. Those old people began to walk with those young people, and they taught them how to do not just the physical work, but how to love people, how to care about people, how to usher them through this terrible experience of their life, caring for them. That godly living that the old guys were doing translated to the young guys, and it made a difference in our ministry. You see, there is a testimony of endurance when you're walking around with gray hair. Yep, gray hair does not guarantee wisdom. I know that. But it points to the years of walking with God. Now, I know there are folks who turn gray prematurely. My mama was one of those in her 20s. She had gray hair. But I'm talking about those of you that have walked with the Lord so many years that we can watch you, we can listen to you, we can observe you and understand you love the Lord. And even more importantly, you love His people and you love people that need to know Him. In the Bible, old age is respected. It was understood that old age did not prevent a person from being obedient and accomplishing God's call on their lives. Think about it. Noah was 500 years old when he started building the ark. And over 100 years of persecution in that process of building the ark. Abraham was 75 years old when he picked up everything he had and started walking to where God wanted him to go. And he didn't even know where that was. But he started walking. Think about it. He was 100 years old when the child promised by God years before was finally born. Sarah was 90 years old when he was born. Moses was 80 years old when he started leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth were in the 60s when John the Baptist was born. Each wrinkle, each strand of silver can testify to the battles fought, of the prayers offered, of the faith that persevered. And in the service of the Lord, you can understand those people know what it's like. They can help me. They can encourage me. Now, our problem today is not so much that you aren't respected, but that you chose to sit down. I'm retired. I'm old. Can't do it anymore. I give up. Let me tell you, a cup of coffee with somebody that wants to hear your testimony and learn from you can make a difference in other lives continuously. Don't give up caring and sharing and providing to others. There's a legacy of faithfulness there. Older saints should show us finishing well is possible. They remind us that the Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. Worldly crowns tarnish. Athletes lose their records. CEOs get replaced. Beauty fades. But the crown of Christ gives, the one he holds for faithful shepherds and righteous saints, doesn't rust, fade, or can't be stolen. The Greek word here points to something eternally fresh, something continuously renewing. It won't get old. It'll keep going. Now, what's the glory for living? What glory are you living? You know, at Pinecrest Baptist Church, we need to be where leaders lead with humble hearts, where leaders' hearts are on fire for Christ, where seniors are honored for finishing well, obediently, righteously, where everyone lives with eyes that are fixed on Jesus, allowing him to touch our lives and lead us and direct us. You see, young people, we can walk in righteousness. Paul commands us, he said, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, love and faith and purity. Until I come, give attention to the public reading, exhortation, and teaching of the word. Middle-agers, service to the Lord matters. He said, I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. That's important for us to remember. And then, old folks, wear your crown of gray with honor. Wear your crown of gray in faithfulness. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. Revelation 3:10. Of course, all of this is only possible through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How does that happen? You admit that you have sinned. You fall short of the glory of God. You believe Jesus has offered you eternal life, and you confess him as Lord, and then you dedicate yourself to discipleship. That whole process, gray here, is the crown of glory in heaven. Rick Warren stated it this way: there will be a crown and the pain, there will be growth in the painful parts of life that you will not gain any other way. The process will not make you perfect, but it will move you forward to being more like Christ. If you trust God to keep you and walk with you in your pain, He will develop endurance in you and give you peace and rest and the crown of glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can look forward to that day that the crown of glory will be given to those of us that are faithful. Help us be faithful every day, to be obedient, to be servants, to care for others, to minister to others in such a way that we make a difference in the lives of others. And even as we grow old and feeble and gray-haired, weak, let us share what you've given to us because of our faith and obedience. Allow us to touch others with the message of hope and wisdom that we have. Give us not only gray hair here, but the crown of glory in your presence. Hear us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.